Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Father, we thank you we can gather. We thank you for your word and how we need it, Lord. Quiet us down and let us really have that heart to see you, praise you, worship you, honor you, hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we had a quiet psalm, in a way, a painful psalm. Israel was in captivity in Babylon, and what they were being requested to do was sing praise songs to the Babylonians, and so they didn't want to do that. They wanted to be quiet. Today we've got a loud psalm of praise, and this psalm is very familiar to us. 138 is the only place in the word that I know of where he says he will extol his word above his name. And I'll just read, it's only 8 verses. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. O, do not forsake the works of your hand. So this is about the Lord's goodness to the faithful. It's really a praise for answered prayer. How often do I really praise the Lord for answered prayer? The psalmist begins with the same statement that's made in Psalm 9, verse 1, and Psalm 111, verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Again, am I, do I, or will I? I always get convicted. I think I say that every time we meet, with the word whole heart, because I recognize how half-hearted, maybe three-quarters, but less than whole heart. But here he is exuberant. He's saying, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the little gods, or before everything else around us, before all the distractions, before the demonic deception, before everything else, I will praise you, I will sing praises to you. Have you done that this morning? Verse 2, I will worship to or at or toward or in the direction your holy temple and praise your name. Again, a great exhortation. I will worship toward your temple. Of course, this was written by David. There was no temple except in his mind at that point. But the direction. And even today, you will see pagans facing Mecca. You will see all kinds of facings. How about you? How about me? I heard a message on obedience from some pastor years ago, but it kind of caught my attention and it went along these kinds of lines. I'll put Corona del Mar in place of the city he mentioned, but he said, if you're in Corona del Mar and you really feel the Lord is calling you to Venezuela, and he's really calling you to Venezuela, go get an airplane ticket and go to Venezuela. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to wait to see. You know, I just wonder what they'll have there waiting for me. And, you know, I know it's going to be so great and glorious, and Lord. And then maybe I can become president of Venezuela, and then maybe I can become one of the top people in the world, known for, forget it, be obedient. And if you can't afford a ticket to Venezuela, he said, take a taxi and go as far as you have the money. And if you can't afford a taxi, start walking. But keep facing Venezuela in your prayers and in your thoughts and praising the Lord. And this is a little bit like this. I will praise him. I will worship him. And the worship, of course, is bow down in Hebrew. It's really bow down. It's not just singing songs. It's really submitting and surrendering to the Lord, and it's praying. And so you could put in here, I will pray toward your holy temple. Now, it's not a building. It doesn't need to be a building. And if you want to praise toward Jerusalem, there's a new Jerusalem coming. The old Jerusalem, I'm not so sure about being so worthy to praise toward, but the new Jerusalem, I mean, some great things happened in Jerusalem. That's where the cross was. That's where Golgotha is. That's where Christ made the sacrifice. That's where Abraham was tested. So it's great, but it doesn't remind us of Christ when we go there today. It reminds us of a very secular world, which still really too much of it believes that Jesus was a deranged rebel, and he led many astray. So that's not true. Then it goes on to say what? For. I will praise you what? I will worship you for what? For your loving kindness and your truth. Notice the couple there. It's not just loving kindness. Loving kindness apart from truth isn't really the whole picture. And truth apart from loving kindness isn't going to go anywhere. It's not going to be received. Because you have what? Magnified your word above all your name. Wow. You know, we're told a lot, 1189 chapters in this word. And that's a little bit longer than Yahweh, right? I mean, Yahweh is everything. I am that I am is everything. But it's not quite as informative as the Word of God. But he says, I've magnified your word above all your name. Now, here's a great one, verse 3. In the day when I cried out, you answered me. Now, is there anything more exciting in a way than see the Lord answer prayer? Now, he answers all the prayers. The ones that he says, wait, are not quite so exciting to me, but it's so great when you make yourself available, not having any idea what's ahead or anything else, and you show up, and the Lord just, wow, amazing. In the day when I cried out, you answered me, and what? Made me bold with strength in my soul. Now, what is that answer? What is that? I will probably be praising, get me out of this mess, Lord. You know, the pain is too great, Lord. But that's not the answer we're talking about here. The answer is not, he's not going to get you out of it. He's not probably even going to lessen the pain necessarily. But what he's going to do is strengthen your soul. He's going to give you internal strength, not external answers. He may external answer, but we tend to pray so much for external stuff, don't we? And what does he give us? He gives us something better than that. He gives us internal strength. You made me bold with strength, bold with strength. Wow. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord. That day's coming when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. So there's nothing lacking from his standpoint and all that. It's all on our side. We're not receiving it yet. And the whole world is in sway of the wicked one yet. But this is coming. All the kings of the earth shall praise you when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Now, definition here a little bit with regard to what the Lord regards and what he doesn't. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. Isn't that good? Otherwise, we'd all be left behind, wouldn't we? Or left away, or whatever it is. Yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. So pretty much every one of the 217 leaders of countries around the world get in trouble in this area. So much pride. I mean, it takes a lot of pride to push your way to the top, doesn't it? But that's not to the top of God's list, it's to the top of the world's list. But the proud, he knows from afar. We can put a bunch of names in there, can't we, world leaders? Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. So what is your prayer? To get you out of trouble? I hear people saying, I can't wait to get out of California. There's so much stuff out here. Well, the day that there's no more unbelievers in California, I want out of here as fast as I can get out of here. But there's so many unbelievers all around us here. Why can't you want to go somewhere else? Different reasons, of course. But though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. So it's not the fact that he's going to remove the trouble. Really, he's going to give you strength. He's going to hedge you. You know, Job would say, or Satan would say with Job, you've got a hedge around him. And here is not only protect, but there's reviving. You will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. I just wonder if we know how much he's protecting us from our enemies every moment of every day. It's kind of like our involuntary muscles, right? You don't have to think to breathe, right? You don't have to think to have your heartbeat. He provides that. So I think he provides this protection too against the wrath of my enemies. And your right hand will save me. A continuing, ongoing protection there. Well, your right hand will save me because what he's done, not because of me, what he's done. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Complete, in other words, the Lord will complete that which concerns me if it's in accordance with his will, not if it's in accordance with my will. So what concerns you, his will or your will? Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. It came back to that from a couple of weeks ago where we did that, 26 times, 28 times, whatever it was. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. And then the final closing, do not forsake the works of your hand. Now, when I see prayers like that, is that to remind him or is it to remind me of what's in my heart? I don't think we need to remind the Lord, but I think we need to remind ourselves that we really do trust in the works of his hand. That's really, I'm saying in my heart, am I really relying on that so much that it would be terrible if he didn't give that to me, if he didn't continue to give that to me. So do not forsake the work of your hands. Know this, he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. You may think so, but he isn't. He isn't. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for so many, Lord, and we just marvel in awe of who you are and what you have done for us and the opportunities that you give us constantly, Lord, to pray or to minister to others or whatever, and how little in the way I do that. And so, Lord, here we are this morning once again. Pray for all of those who are not here and wherever they are, Lord, they would just be honoring you, worshiping you, and praying to you. But we are here, Lord, and we acknowledge your presence and thank you, and we praise your name. And Lord, give us whole hearts to praise you. And lead us now in these moments of prayer as you have given us this opportunity. In Jesus' name. Father, I just want to thank you for Louisiana putting 10 commandments back. And Lord, I pray that that trend would continue. I know we could have 10 commandments in every state in the union and still be totally in sin, but at least moving in a direction away from plunging downward further and further away from you. And so I thank you for those states that are somewhat committed to your view, not the godless worldview. And I pray for more stances against abortion, Lord. We know how that is such an abomination and how that was one of the things near the top of the list, if not the top of the list, of giving the kids to Molech and a capital offense. And now we have legalized it here and even recommended it here. And so, Lord, we have sinned and are continuing to sin. And sanctity of life has been trashed. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, it is so wrong. So I pray for life. Yes. Lord, I pray for the debate this coming week. I'm not much on debate, but I do know in 16 that President Trump stood against late-term abortions and made a big difference in the pro-life people. And Lord, I just pray for the view that is yours, Lord. I don't care about the man, but I care about the views. And Lord, I also pray for the GOP thing coming up where they will have their so-called plank of Bible, so to speak. And every year that it is kind of rewritten in a way. And I pray that it would be written in the area of more alignment with you rather than less. And there would be stances taken that are in accordance with your will in some of these key areas in this culture and in this land. And so again, Lord, not for a party, but I am asking that especially the believers would vote what is biblical, Lord, and not just say, I'm not going to vote because it doesn't make any difference anyway. So, Lord, we have a stewardship there, and I just pray that you would be honored, you would be glorified, Lord, and we would be seeing the believers stand. That's the biggest problem we have in this nation. The believers are so weak that this evil has just been running so rampant in these last decade or two and with no resistance to it, really, it seems. So, Lord, help us to stand against it, Lord. Father, I thank you that over 1 million Bibles have been distributed by Cross to Light into Haiti in the last 7-8 years. And thank you for those 12 churches there, pastored by Haitians. And they're there. They don't go anywhere. And life is pretty much normal to them. They don't ever have anything. But seeing the people there are so much better off than so many in the United States who have money and power, but they don't have you. They're lost. And Father, as even I hear these casualties, I think of 160,000 people a day die natural causes, and how many of those are unbelievers? Probably at least 100,000. So, Lord, it's not that the things that we lose is so bad. It's the things that we don't have in terms of knowing you. And Lord, this nation is probably really badly off now because it's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. They had too little, they had too much, worshiping the blessings and so far from you and so uninterested in you, and they die that way. And so, Lord, you know all of that. But help those that you put in our path today that we would demonstrate who you are, and there would be that attraction to you. And Lord, people in need call out to you. People who are full don't. And so, Lord, you do it beautifully. And you know exactly what's needed. And you work in ways that we don't even understand. But help us to have that heart has been prayed for here this morning to meet the needs of those who have lost things. And that problem is too much we need to lose some things, Lord, and turn to you and not be depending on IDF and on iron domes and all those other things, which are good, but that's not our hope. That's all going to pass away. And so it's so hard to understand in a way that whatever we see is going to pass away. What we don't see is eternal. And so it's the eternal things that we so desperately need to follow and hold on to and be led by, and not the physical. So help us in this. And then we have, Lord, all of the 24-hour constant news. We hear more today about distractions than ever before in the past. Years ago, we'd never heard about any of these things that have been mentioned here, really, fires and earthquakes and so forth. But they happened. We had famines, and we had black plagues, and we have much greater than we've even had in later times. And so, Lord, you know all of that. And just help us, Lord. Help us to stand for you, Lord, and to make a difference, Lord. Help us to be, we say Satan's working 24/7. What about us? What about your people, Lord? What are we working? One out of 24 or a tenth out of a 24 or what else, Lord? And so I pray for, we keep praying for revival. I certainly pray for revival in the church, Lord. There must be hundreds of millions of believers around the world. Maybe if one out of eight were believers, there'd be a billion believers in the world. Maybe there's not that many. Maybe there's half of that number. 500 million Christians. What are we doing today? What a difference that would make if each one would just stand for you. Help us to stand, and help us to stand. We can't handle the other 499 million out there, but we can handle ourselves. Help us to be standing for you as you would have us, with your help, in Jesus' name. Amen to that. Well, we kind of come to the end of the hour. We started off, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Let's close by singing this praise, a song. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Let's sing this together.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree, his body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, and Lord, we thank you for going with us this whole day long. Guide and keep, and may you be honored in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.